it's not easy to always like yourself as a female. We go through these like ups and downs of life, and then throw yourself into this kind of career, it's heightened because you spend all day in front of a mirror. Then you go and you do the job, and the job is scrutinized, or you're being watched again. So it's like you have eyes on you 24/7.
Hello and welcome back to Red Lips and High Kicks with your host, Lydia Holt. Thank you for joining me for another week and another episode. You know it means the most to me. Today I am talking to the insightful and very exciting Hayley Monahan. Hayley is a commercial dancer and teacher living in London, and over the course of her 13-year career has worked with the likes of Katy Perry, Dua Lipa, Gary Barlow, Taylor Swift, and also worked under Brian Friedman on the X Factor UK. It's all this knowledge and experience that she has channeled into her business, the She Project UK. It's an initiative I am so excited to hear about and was so happy to see even existed. There are programs and masterclasses all focusing on women, helping them feel femme and fierce. Choreography classes accompanied by heels technique and even mindfulness and meditation. It's a wholehearted experience and one that can be so vital and important for young dancers starting out. I haven't done one, I wish I had, and I'm really excited to doing one day in London soon. Hayley is so passionate about what she does, and I really could have talked to her all day. I love meeting women like this that really inspire you to work on yourself and reach your full potential for yourself, for no one else, just for the sake of you, and you want to and you owe it to yourself, so go and do it. Thank you so much, Hayley, and I'll be taking your words into work with me tomorrow. It's my weekly plug. If you haven't already, please do subscribe, leave a rating. That would also be amazing. It helps more ears hear these wise, wonderful, and lovely words. And of course, follow us on Instagram at redlips.highkicks. Have a great week, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Stay excellent. So hello, Hayley. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you.
Hi. I'm so happy that you asked me to do this. I'm well up for a big old chat.
Chat. I love that. Yes. That's just what I want it to be. Sharing and caring and a big old chat.
Yeah, perfect. I'm ready.
So I'm so excited to pick your brains on everything, you know, commercial world, hustling in London, living your best life, creating a business. There's so much to talk about, but let's really cut into it. And I'm going to ask you my two favorite questions, which is, what has been your most important rejection, but your favorite applause?
Okay, so let's start. I'm going to start with the applause, because let's start with the positives. The thing that comes to my mind is probably coming in to this career and when everything changed for me in terms of, okay, yeah, absolutely, this is what I want to do. I did a reality TV show. This was about 13 years ago. I was 18. And it was in the States, but it was aired here. It was on Living TV. It was called Dirty Dancing, The Time of Your Life. And I went into that show with literally no idea about the performing arts industry, about how to become a professional dancer. I was kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and just loved to dance. That's the only reason I was there. And I think I went in on paper being the first person that should have left. Okay. The whole concept of the show was based on the movie Dirty Dancing. So there was 10 females and 10 males. And we did all these challenges where we partnered up. We worked with some of the best choreographers. And you basically had to fight to keep in each week. And then the prize at the end of it was a visa to the US. And you would then be signed by Block Agency. I ended up coming third with my partner in that show. And still now, I don't think there has been anything, even though I've had so many amazing highlights in my career, there's not been anything where I felt the way I felt doing that show and even getting to the semi-finals and coming third. In my head, I thought, my God, I'm absolutely not getting into this final, because the two other partners that were there and the two other females that I was against as well were incredible. But just to be there was, for me at that time, being 18 and I was working at Marks and Spencer's, the only form of dancing I had done was disco freestyle. That is the only bit of dance, the only style that I'd done. I hadn't done anything else. That to this day is definitely the proudest I've ever felt of myself. And that was where the change happened in me as a person. And when I decided, okay, this is absolutely for me. Nothing else is going to stop me from making this my future and my career.
I love that. So, and yeah. I love that you came first. And I think that's what's so great about this is someone's like highlight is actually not on paper, like the best thing, the peak of their career. It can be that moment, like you've just said, where you were like, ah, I get it. Like, let's get started.
Absolutely. Like, I didn't even win. It wasn't about the winning for me. I think it was just proof to myself that, okay, this can be something. This is something that I can do this, because look how close I was to the top. And I have hardly any experience, hardly any life experience. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I'm ready to learn and I'm ready to just step 2 feet into this situation and see where it takes me. So yeah, that was definitely, that's my applause moment for myself.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Pat myself on the back. You did great, babes.
Amazing. I really did like kickstart your career. I mean, at only 18 years old, like what a way to begin.
Yeah. I don't, if I hadn't have done that show, I don't know whether I would have pursued the career that I did, whether I would have been brave enough and had the courage to. And I also wouldn't have met the people that I met.
Okay.
That were definitely a huge influence on guiding me and helping me. And okay, this is kind of what you need to do. These are the people you need to be around. These are the classes. These are the agents. That definitely made a huge impact.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything. I didn't even know there was dance colleges. Like, honestly, didn't have a clue. So yeah, definitely amazing. My biggest applause. And then moving on to the not so good one, my biggest rejection. So this sticks in my mind as something that it spurred me on, but in the moment it felt devastating. Once I came off the show, I started training, going to classes, networking, and auditioning for agencies. And I was signed by an agency in London, a really big commercial agency. And I'd gone to a couple of castings for them, but they weren't really anything that I was too bothered about. So if I didn't get the job, then it was fine. Then they held this huge casting for, I think it was like the Cricket World Cup or something. I don't even know if that exists. But it was a huge sporting event and they needed something like 40 to 50 dancers. And they held this audition for nearly everyone on their books at the time. And bearing in mind, this was, I must have been on their books for about 2 years. So this was, 10, 11 years ago. And all of us piled in to the audition room and did the first round, learned the choreo and danced it in groups. And everyone that I respected in the industry, I remember, was in that room. And all of my friends were there. So we did the first round and the casting agent sat us all down and said, okay, guys, well done. Amazing job. We're actually just going to cut 2 people. So if I call your name, if you could just stand up and thank you so much, in a room of about 80 to 100 people. And he called my name out and another female. And I literally remember wanting the entire ground to open up and swallow me in.
God.
And being so devastated at the process of it.
Yeah.
Not even the fact that, you know, I'd been cut. I really wanted to do the job. So that hurt because I thought, oh my God, this is going to be great. There's going to be loads of dancers on there. I'm going to get to network with all these people. The choreographer I really respected and wanted to kind of get in there with. But the fact that myself and the other girl had to stand up and climb over everyone in the room to go and get our bags. And you could have heard a pin drop. It was absolutely awful. I remember going out into the hallway and there was a queue of another group of people waiting to audition. I remember people being outside and people going, oh, what's going on in there? I was like, oh, I got cut, leaving and sobbing on the tube home, absolutely sobbing. Like the reality of rejection, that was the first time I'd been rejected on that level. And that one experience has stayed with me forever.
Yeah.
Literally forever. And I remember going to Patisserie Valerie and buying a box of eclairs and going home and eating these 40 eclairs with a cup of tea on the phone to my friend, like, oh God,
No, and I think you've just, like, you've epitomised the ugly side of the industry, and it's something that so many people forget. And you know, on a good day you forget yourself, but that stuff does happen and it stings, and like, yeah, you just said, it lasts forever. You won't forget that, and it's so unfortunate when it does, but it is the nature of the beast, isn't it? It's what you have, absolutely, to expect sometimes. But God, I mean, that is a doozy though. Yeah. That is a bad one.
That was a stinger, not going to lie. It's never left me, ever, ever. And even to this day, I'm still with this agency, and they are an agency that I work mostly with now. Yeah. And I just think, God, how that hurt me, but how it changed my outlook. I swore to myself, I will never, ever let that happen again, ever. And thankfully, it didn't. On that scale, obviously, we all get cut from auditions, and I've been cut from many more auditions after that I've been cut from. But I learned so much from that experience, and so much from how I dealt with that and what I took away from it, that it ended up being a blessing. But yeah, still the biggest killer, that one, for sure.
how like, you know, put yourself back in those shoes. How did you literally pick yourself up for the next audition? Because, you know, it's life. You probably had one that week or maybe the week after. How did you kind of have the courage to put the eclairs down and get back out there?
4 eclairs later and I felt great. No. I, at that time, and even now, I had, and I still do have, an amazing group of people around me. I've always had really strong support systems and people that believed in me. So whenever I felt low, I knew that there was always somebody at the end of the phone that would be like, oh God, that's awful, but you're amazing and you're great. And that will just tell me everything that I need to hear in that moment. And I also remember when the job happened, specifically watching the job, because I wanted to know who had booked it, because I wanted to see the comparison between potentially why I hadn't got the job and why these other dancers had. But not in a way to be like, oh my God, I can't believe they got it. It was more like, okay, is there a specific type of dancer they were looking for? Is there a specific look they were looking for? To try and make sense of, okay, that's why you didn't get that job. Maybe at the time, right now, your technique isn't strong enough, or you don't fit the brief of what they're looking for in terms of looks or height or hair color or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I remember in particular one friend that really, like, supported me through it, and, you know, kind of did the whole thing with, oh, well, you know, they don't need you, you're too good for them kind of situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was amazing support system. And then just doing my research after and finding out, you know, why, not being afraid to go, let me take a little bit of criticism for myself and work on what I think is going to make me stronger at the next audition.
And that's kind of, it's such an important lesson. And for someone who's had the experience you've had, do you think that is a reflection of you growing up in the industry and kind of developing a thicker skin and learning how to survive?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think in my early 20s, probably when I was, you know, under 25, I found that very difficult to accept. So I found it difficult to accept that dancers would be booked on a job because of their aesthetics, not for how good of a dancer they were. And that would make me really frustrated and upset. It wasn't until I got into my late 20s that I actually started to accept that for what that was and not let it affect me as much. In my early 20s, there was plenty of times that I wouldn't get a job and I would feel really upset about it. And, you know, and sometimes I would be like, oh my God, how did they get it? And I didn't. And, you know, if every single person out there says, no, I've never done that, then they're not human.
Yeah.
Because even if you haven't said it out loud, you've thought it in your head. Like, what have they got that I haven't? That kind of situation. But it was more into my late 20s that I began to actually accept that. And I think once you accept that, you become very content with who you are as a performer, let alone who you are as a person. It's part of maturing, it's part of growing and life experience. But things become a lot easier for you to understand, and also you understand more where you are, where you're better placed.
Okay.
So you know that, okay, I'm going to go to this audition because I do think that I'm going to fit this brief well. Mm. Or there may be another audition where you're like, do you know what? This job isn't for me. I know that I'm not going to fit this, 100% not. So I'm going to leave this one. And you start to make choices for yourself and not just jump on every single job that you know, every single thing. Oh, yes, 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 yes. At the start of your career, I would 100% advise that. 100%, because you're still trying to find where you fit.
Yeah.
You may think you fit in one bracket, but actually your strengths may lie in another, but you might not see that in yourself. It may take somebody else to see it in you and go, do you know what? Actually, your strength is this, like you're really strong at this and you fit this really well. So yeah, I would definitely say that as you get on, don't be too, don't try and rush, be patient with yourself, always be patient with yourself. And even now, I'm 31 now, and I'm still learning about what I like and what I don't like and what I want to do and what I don't want to do. And just have that patience, as frustrating as it can be.
Yeah. You're literally like talking to me right now. I'm in my early 20s now, and I cannot tell you. And it is so hard. I think especially in, you can't help it. You can, you know, whatever, technique is technique and talent is talent, but it's an aesthetic art. At the end of the day, it's how you look. And sometimes exactly you're booking a job and it's like, you just have the wrong hair color, or, you know, you're too tall, you're too small. It can be as literal as that. And it's just such a hard pill to swallow. And I'm longing for the day it gets easier, but I still take it so personally. And I'm not really in an environment, I'm not, you know, going for auditions right now, but I remember my agent, you know, being like, why am I not getting it? Like, I've done this, I did that, I was doing the turns, I was doing everything that they said they wanted. And my agent just being like, they want to find who they want, like they want to find you, and they go into that audition with a very clear idea of what they want. They want to find it, and if it's not you, that's actually not your fault. Like, they're desperate to find the right person, so just come as you are. And it's so hard, so I look forward to it getting easier, because in a moment it does, it's so hard to switch that off.
Yeah, and I think now it's a lot harder because social media gives people a lot of false, like, imagery, if that makes sense. Like, to be a commercial dancer, you don't have to look a certain way. To do a Western musical, you don't have to look a certain way or be a certain way. So, you know, it's hard. Like, people ask me for this kind of advice all the time, and I think it really depends on the individual and what route that they're choosing to take. Because you could be that type of person that's willing to change how you look continuously to try and find what works. That was me. I started out in the industry with a short white blonde pixie crop. I couldn't look any more edgy, let's say. I'm not edgy. I'm not an edgy person at all. That is not my look. Like, I'm very girly. I'm talking colors and pink and, you know, that's, even though now all I do is wear black, but that's not who I am. But I was like, oh, I'll try that. And then from that, I dyed my hair ginger to try and get it back. And where I bleached it so much, all my hair fell out at the front. So then I was going through this dodgy stage of like going to every audition with a high top knot because I had no hair to have it down. Then I went jet black. Then I went purple. Then it was red at one point. So then eventually come back to my natural color as a redhead. And everything just worked out for me. As soon as I went back to my natural hair color and I accepted that this is my branding. This is I'm pale skinned with red hair. And it's like the work just kept coming and coming, because it was like I got more comfortable with myself. I walked into a room with more confidence because I was confident in how I looked and how I carried myself. I'd matured, and, you know, that's one way to do it. And some people are okay with doing that. But if I could go back, and that's, I'm not saying that I regret, but if I was to rewind and start again, I would be pale skin and red hair, and I would own that from the day I stepped into the industry. Because even back 12, 13 years ago, when I was really starting, 18, there wasn't many redheads around. Now it's popular to have, you know, red hair, and it's such a beautiful look, you know. There's more There's more redheads. But yeah, I hope I'm making sense when I say
no,
that.
You are. And you've like segued me perfectly onto a question I wanted to ask you, which is like the social media Instagram effect. And it's, I mean, it's an issue and it's a subject and it's, you know, a massive part of everyone's lives, whether you're working in tech to dancers, you know, it affects everything at the moment. And I think, like we've just said, in such a visual industry, your visual, your Instagram page is also a reflection of that. And, you know, you hear the stories of going into auditions. I mean, probably more so for models, of, you know, how many followers do you have? It matters. Your like following matters. And it is a kind of a weird place to be in. I think the whole, you know, atmosphere and dynamic of classes has changed so much because people need to film it. People need to get it on their Instagram. They need to show that they were there, what they look like. And I think the intention has changed, and, you know, who knows whether it's for the better or for worse. Has it heightened everyone's like competitiveness? Are we like fighting a lot harder, or like you said, or is everyone becoming, you know, more authentic because they want to be themselves? I don't know. It's, you know, you can't call it whether it's good or bad. Yeah. How have you seen it change in your career?
Oh my God, massively. Like, I'm going to be totally brutally honest with the social media thing. Anyone that knows me personally knows how I feel about it. I don't like social media. I just don't like it. I find it very toxic for the individual and for us as human beings and for us as women and for children growing up. I think it's a scary place. I just don't see it ever going away. I think it's just going to grow. But on the other hand, I see the positives in what it's done for dancers in the industry, as reluctantly, I say that reluctantly. So let's start at the beginning. For example, when I came into the industry, there was a hell of a lot of auditions, and you were booked on a job when you were seen in person, in a room, how you moved, how you carried yourself. You would see the casting director or whoever it was, or the agent, and they would see you in the flesh. And that's how you earned your place. And obviously over time you get a reputation, then you start getting direct booked, so on and so forth. Now, social media really is part of everything. It's literally everything. So not only do you have to showcase your dance ability, your versatility, what you can do, but also who you are as a person. Like, people are going to go onto your social media page and they're going to look at, what do you do in your spare time? Like, who are you? Yeah. What's on your story? Do you spend every weekend out getting hammered? Is there photos of you smoking or whatever on the page? Like, do you look wholesome enough? Do you look like somebody that we want to have in the room? As females, are you sexy enough? Are you slim enough? Are you pretty enough? Do you look good on camera? Have you found the right light? And there's all of these different elements on for you to brand yourself. And a person can really, really brand themselves however they want and can show themselves in their best light without any negatives at all. And then it comes to the followers situation. So clients are wanting to see your profile, and before they scroll, they're going to look at how many followers you have. Like, so are you going to benefit the brand, the job, the artist, the group that you're working with? Are you going to be beneficial for us just by how many people follow your page? How influential are you? Are you worth us paying you to be a part of this project, kind of thing? So on one aspect, I think, like I said, with the branding, you can brand yourself however you want to, and you can show the best and the most amazing sides of you. And on the other hand, agents or casting directors can look at your page and judge you before actually seeing anything.
Yeah.
So you could have 50,000 followers, but be absolutely horrific at dancing or singing or whatever. But okay, that's what we need. We need somebody who is influential and people are going to want to tune into, rather than just purely for your talent. And I find that unfair.
Yeah.
Life isn't fair, but I find that unfair. And that's the side of things that I don't really like. And I also don't like, this is what, it's not that I don't like it, I find it hard to adjust to, is that now even the agents want us to share our social media handles with them. So, you know, people can see your every movement at all times. And the, sometimes the things that you don't want to share with the entire world, you're kind of forced to. But I do think, you know, it gives people, more people, an opportunity to be seen.
Yeah.
So you can, it, like, people that may not get a look in can be seen and can use their platform to showcase themselves when they may not have had a chance maybe 10 years ago to get in an audition room because they're finding it hard to get an agent or so on and so forth.
It's so interesting, and I really agree. I'm so torn between it, and I think the unfortunate thing is that we do live in a world where it does matter. So it's sort of like, as much as I completely believe everything you're saying, it's like, but I want to be in this world. I want to be in this race. So like, it's not going to change. I have to change. And it's so hard. And I've had so many conversations, particularly on the podcast, of girls who have huge followings and girls who have found their, like, you know, Kristen Olsen literally said to me, she was like, it helped me when I had, helped me get seen. It helped me get seen. I think, you know what, you like, exactly, everyone wants that. Everyone wants a window. Mm-hmm. But it is the nature of the beast, and everything you've just said, I find myself massively having to take a weekend off all the time. I have a time where I use it for an hour and a half every day, and then I can't. I have like that limit on my phone, because it's so, you can't draw the line, and it affects us where you're like, why am I feeling this way? It's because I saw that today and I saw her today on my phone, and it made me feel a certain way. And it makes you, you know, it can feel suffocating at times to be constantly.
You're going to be comparing yourself 24/7 to what everybody else is doing. That person is doing this and they're doing this and they're doing that. And I'm just sat at home and, oh my God. And especially now, this year, especially, it's probably the hardest time. Like, I have had to really remove myself from social media at times, because it has really, really affected my mental state of mind. And you know, it's made me feel insecure about my situation, or going back into the big wide world, like, what's going to happen, and am I still going to be good enough? And you know, it's so hard.
It's a tightrope, and you have to just tread so carefully. And the balance is always of just you, so much it's you that day, like how you feel that day, whether you can handle it or you can't. And I think, like we've just said, unfortunately, it does help our industry. And you know, we're the face of so many things, and we're dancers, we're there, that we do sort of have to appreciate that it is, we have to kind of have a relationship with it. But it's, I don't think anyone's cracked it yet. I think everyone, you know, has to work on their balance with it, because it's not perfect. It's far from perfect.
For sure. Well, absolutely. It's difficult for people of my generation as well, like dancers in my generation that have been around for quite a long time, and we've done a lot and we have a lot of experience, to now be like, okay, so you don't want to look at my CV or my showreel. You want to look at my Instagram profile. Like, does this not show enough? Like, is this not enough for you? Now we have to rebrand ourselves as well. And I'm quite stubborn with it. And anyone who's listening to this, if you check out my social media page, you will see exactly what I mean. My dogs and my nephews and cake is still on my Instagram page. And then mixed in between all of that are jobs and the odd photo here and there, me and my partner, holidays, that kind of thing. My social media is still very me, still very personal. But I do feel the need, okay, I'll drop something today about I'm still alive and I still perform. I do still work. I am still dancing, that kind of thing. But I do it very reluctantly, knowing that it's not going to benefit me whatsoever. Yeah. Like, come on, get with the times. But as an individual, I am very stubborn with it. And I'll say that wholeheartedly.
No, I think, and on a bad day when I do think, like, God, you know, the power of influence, the power of having a following, because it, you know, it's heavy, it weighs something, like you just said, in so many different ways, not just with our industry, in everything. I do think, you know, Instagram went down the other day, didn't it? And I think if it was gone tomorrow, how, like, I would, okay, I would still yeah, funny. No, like, I would still have a job actually, and lots of dancers, like you just said, who have a good CV and have built reputations would still be employable. But actually,
yeah,
I never ever want to feel or be in a position where if it, like, if that didn't matter, if it was just a passing trend and Instagram kind of had its sell by date and we all got over it, like, can you survive still? Have you literally got the things in place that you still matter, you still will book jobs, and you can still have an income? And I think you've always got to kind of assess the situation and be like, but if it was gone tomorrow, would I survive?
Yeah. And I think it's like, why can't we sit down with casting directors and agents and say, every job must, a job must have an audition process.
Yeah.
Like, take people back, or not right now, do COVID hopefully down the line, bring people into a room, let them show you what they're about in the flesh, because you're going to get so much out of people in that way. But then, like I said before, it's like, if you're not with an agency, you're not going to get you're not going to get as many opportunities. So completely pros and cons.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, it's like with the She Project, no one would know what the She Project was if it wasn't for social media. So as stubborn as I am, it's like, oh, set up a business on social media. Double-edged sword. But yes.
No, and I'm so excited to talk to you about the She Project, because I think it's such a great initiative, and it's something that, God, I wish, like, what's not too late, I still can do it. But it's something that I think can be overlooked so much. I was trained as a ballet dancer. So I was on a cruise ship and I was kind of, you know, finding my feet in London, trying to book jobs and stuff. And I kind of realized that I didn't know how to walk in heels. I didn't know how to feel sexy and be sexy and do that whole thing. And I think it's so important, and we forget it's a technique.
Yes, absolutely. That was basically everything you said is one of the reasons why we started the project. So myself and one of my best friends, Kelechi, we've worked together for years and years and years, forever. It feels like forever. And we found, this was about 3.5 years ago, 3-4 years ago, we found that there was not enough for females in the UK for heels training and for wellness. Like, at the time, there wasn't really much. I think there was one other program that was working out of Pineapple Dance Studios, but they were fairly new as well. And we went on a trip to LA, and we're in LA, it was like endless amounts of heels classes, endless. Yeah. And we just thought, God, we really miss out on this in London. And also, I was really talking about ourselves, how we take care of ourselves. That conversation wasn't happening. So that's why I wanted to do the project. Let's combine this heels training, really solid heels training, with the wellness and taking care of yourself and the basics of, okay, you want to be a commercial dancer, this is how things roll. And we did 3 days. We had heels technique, we had heels teachers. We brought fitness people in, we had yoga, we had meditation, we did, Lisa Spencer came in, and she did a piece where one person would be the artist and everyone would be the dancer around them. And then we set up scenarios of, what if they fall, do you help them up? If there's a dance break, you have to take the mic and all of that kind of stuff. It was a huge success. And it sold out and it was super popular, and we had such good feedback from it. We loved doing it. And then from there on, we started doing pop-ups. So we were meant to do a second project, but we never got around to doing it. Mm-hmm. But we eventually will do one. And we started doing pop-ups. We did pop-ups that contained things like technique training or meditation. We'd have talks. We do different exercises. And then with the success of that over the year, we then moved into doing a teens version. So we did a She Teens, which was a version for young girls aged 12 to 18. And that was a huge success. That was even more successful than we thought it was going to be.
Really?
And we had all these beautiful, oh my goodness, honestly, we had all these beautiful young girls come down. We held it at Bass Studios. And it just was so, it was actually quite emotional to watch them go through this process throughout the day. We had different choreographers. We had a session where they learned about mindset and growth and taking care of themselves and how to journal and all stuff like that. And it was just brilliant. It was really, really good. And yeah, and it's just kind of been that ever since.
It's amazing. And it's such an initiative that seems so obvious. Like, it seems so obvious for like a woman to be teaching a woman how to move like a woman. Like, it seems obvious, but it, like you said, yeah, that it's been missing. And not only the whole, like you said, the kind of mental health aspect and the mindfulness aspect of it, that is just missing everywhere in the dance world. And it's just so smart. And I think, again, so many girls need that attention, because I think especially when you're young, in those kind of your teen years and even into your early 20s, so much of you go through so much, and you're so susceptible and you're so influenced by everyone around you. So it can be so difficult to remain confident and remain yourself and believe in yourself. And I think in an industry, in an environment like dance, where you have to walk into a room and be confident, it's not really an option. It's so important that we get that down and we get that correct, because how are you supposed to book a job if you don't feel confident at all? And actually just giving that time in an environment that feels cared for, like, it's genius. It's so genius. And I bet I can't even imagine the results and the impact of that environment.
It was incredible to just watch these young women. I mean, we had a mix of ages, but for the She Project, just watch their process over 3 days. Mm. And there was tears and there was revelations for people and triumphs throughout it. And the funny thing is, on that She Project, we actually didn't teach a choreography class. I did heels technique for 45 minutes each morning with them, and then we went into other sessions, but we didn't actually teach. Yeah. We got all these other incredible people in to teach during the sessions, and we just sat back and watched it unfold, like how just the process of everybody in the room was just amazing. It was amazing. And then to do it with the teens was even more rewarding.
Yeah.
And just watching them and them being so hungry, and all of them, every single one of them in the room wanted or wants to have a professional career. So I was like, God, this is like gold for these girls. And again, we didn't even teach during that. We actually didn't teach. We got other people in, all people that we respect and know are amazing and would click with this young energy. And, you know, we kind of, I remember at the end of the day, we went, oh, God, that was so heavy, mm-hmm. but in a positive way. We are super proud of the She Project. I mean, during this past year, we have just laid low, if you want to call it that, because it's been everything we do for She is always a process for us physically and mentally. And we also, you know, we have lives like everybody else that we're trying to get through this whole year. So we've just left She as it is to pick up once the world picks back up, and then we can start getting the ball rolling again. But, you know, thank you so much for all your lovely words as well. Like, it's lovely to hear what people think of it on the outside. You know, we started She 3.5 years ago, and it started with just a conversation of like, God, this is missing and this is missing and da da da, and it's become quite known within the industry. And since then, there's so many other businesses and programs that have started which are similar to that, and to see how people have done it slightly differently, and, you know, it's really interesting for us as well to help us come up with new fresh ideas and what else can we offer and how can we make our program slightly different to others, and, you know, that kind of thing. So there's so much more out there now compared to what there was when we started, which can only be a positive, you know.
Definitely. And I think you just speak of an experience that I think, like I've just said, so many dancers have. Like, one of my first environments sort of like in the industry was those first auditions and finding my feet. And I think it wasn't till I had an agent and I sat down, signed my contract, and they actually, like, it was the actual believing in me that was like, oh, I think I can do this. And then, you know, you walk into a room and I was moving differently, and I would look at these other girls and be like, God, she looks amazing when she does that. And my first contract when I was on the ship, my castmates were my teachers, like the things I pulled from them. And I think it's so inspiring when we really, you know, enable ourselves to change and to experiment and to really grow. And I think it's so exciting. And I think now, again, as I get older, and like we've just said earlier, when you become, you know, you struggle in your 20s with everything, and well, in your teens with finding out who you are, but also learning to like who you are and learning to appreciate that. And like we just said, sell it. You've got to know what you're selling. You've got to know your brand.
Yeah.
And it is that environment that you need that time. You need that time to focus. And kind of my question to you as well is, for you, what does it mean to kind of be that like femme and fierce for you? How do you embody that when you're dancing?
Oh God. I have to, you know, it's definitely been a process for me. It's not easy to always like yourself as a female. We go through these like ups and downs of life, and then throw yourself into this kind of career. It's heightened 20,000 million times because you spend all day in front of a mirror. You'll be in every audition is, you know, like a job interview, what normal people would do. Then you go and you do the job and the job is scrutinized or you're being watched again. So it's like you have eyes on you 24/7 when you choose to come into a career like this. And then add on top, you just growing as a person. So who I was when I was 18 to who I was when I was in my mid-20s to who I am now are very different people. My morals and everything have always stayed the same, but the dancer that I started out as and to who I've grown into, especially in these last, I'd say 4 or 5 years, has changed so much. Like, I feel like a woman now, and when I put heels on and I dance, I am confident in that space. Like, I'm untouchable, and that's how I feel. Like, I don't mean untouchable in terms of I'm like I am the best. I mean, like, I love that space, and that's where my confidence is at its highest. But it's not always been that way, and I think coming into, you know, my late 20s, when I started to experiment more with being in a heel and, you know, going to LA and doing some more classes, and I was like, oh God, this just makes me feel great. I could just literally be walking and beveling, and I'm like, God, this makes me feel amazing. And I think that's where I really started to find my real femininity. And okay, now I feel like a woman, if that makes sense. Mm. And when I look back to my early 20s, I always was like, okay, I am a woman, but I don't feel it internally. And it's like a light bulb moment happened. And I was like, okay, I'm comfortable in this, and I'm comfortable in my skin when I'm doing this. And I feel like I can share this with other people because I feel good about myself while I'm in, like I've turned on this persona. But in my everyday life, I'm not normally like that. I have my insecurities. You know, there's things that don't make me feel so good about myself or about certain situations. I still turn up to jobs feeling nervous. Who's going to be in the room? What's it going to be like? Am I going to be good? Da, 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 da. But when I am in the studio and I put those heels on and I'm just doing me is when I'm like, okay, I'm a woman and no one can touch me right now. And I think that's why the She Project has been such a passion project as well, especially for Kelechi. And we're so close. It brought us closer together. And I look at her and there's things about her as a woman that makes me go, oh my God, you're fab. Like, I'm going to take some of that. And I feel like she would say the same about me.
Yeah,
I feel confident in that one. So yeah, and I also think when I spend time on working on myself in terms of, it could be something, I know it sounds stupid, it could be something as small as tonight I'm going to put an eye mask on and put conditioner in my hair, and when I wake up tomorrow and I wash that out, I feel fab. That sounds so weird, but that is part of, for me, that's part of feeling confident and like part of me as a woman and my process, and you know, I don't have to take selfies and that kind of thing, where I know as other women do like to do that. That makes me feel good and about myself. And
And I think we've said throughout the whole episode a bit, like, you know, we all know being a woman is hard. We have impossible standards. We're all pitted against each other, and we have an idea of what beauty is, like, you know, thrown at us from the day we're born, in every magazine, in every TV, and in every dance studio. Like, it's very hard to appreciate yourself and your own worth. And then, you know, that then unfolds into dancing, and you see these dancers who have the most amazing bodies, who have the most gorgeous hair, whose eyelashes are perfect, they barely seem to sweat, and it can make you feel like shit. It can really make you feel like, well, I'm competing against this chick, and why, like, what have I got? What have I got that can possibly compete with that? And I think that's where it's so crucial that, like we've just said, is that you spend the time to know what you've got, to actually nourish that and to really refine that. And it is as simple. I remember having a conversation with a dancer at Crazy Horse, and she said, you know, you've got to know literally how to bevel, how much of a backbend suits your back. And it is those little tiny, tiny, tiny details that make the difference, not only of then how you look, but then your presence, because you feel great when you're taking that time and you know you've nailed your best angle, the best way to do it. And I think it's a really difficult line, and you have to spend the hours. But I think when we do focus that energy on ourselves, it only rewards us. It only then snowballs, and we get it from there.
100%. It's like, don't sit around looking at what everybody else has got. Nurture what you have right in front of you. Like, I'm very confident in terms of, like, I know what looks good on me. Like, I know the styles that look good, looks good on me. I know the shapes and the lines and how to walk, and like, that's because I've worked on it. It didn't happen overnight. I was not that when I was 18. Go onto YouTube and type in Dirty Dancing Time of Your Life, Hayley and Simon, and there is a Fosse number, and I'm 18. Look at it. It is so cute. I'm like, oh God, I was cute. But there's just so much to grow. Like, I look like a young lady. I do not look like a woman. And that's like, now I'm like, okay, I'm proud of myself, because I look like a woman. I look mature when I dance, and I feel classy. And you know, I've done plenty of jobs over the years where I've been like, oh my God, what the hell am I doing? But you know, you just have to own you, and don't be afraid to nurture who you are as an individual. Don't try and be like the other person. Don't watch a video of God knows who dancing with 50,000, 100,000 likes and think, I need to make my body move like that. I need to wear that. I need to have my hair like that. Because that isn't you. That's not authentic to you and your brand. People want confidence to walk in the room. They want, like you said, an energy and a light to come in, you know. So don't be afraid of who you are. Because everyone has something to offer, and also there will be somebody out there that will go, oh, this person is absolutely right for this, and that could change everything for you.
Yeah. All right, my last question, because this has just been the richest interview, I'm enjoying this so much, is, what would be your advice to your younger self? Probably to listen to this episode, because you've just like given everything in this episode. But if this didn't exist, then what would you give? What would be your advice?
I would say, don't waffle so much, Hayley. Don't waffle. I can go off on a tangent and never stop. Oh my goodness, you've caught me off guard with this one. What would my advice to my younger self be? Just ride it out, because it's going to be bloody fantastic. Literally, ride it out. Like, there has been so many moments throughout my career where I have wanted to go, I've had enough. But I always wake up the next day and I'm like, let's go. Okay, cool. That was rubbish. Let's move forward. There'll be something better. And something better has always come along. It always, always has, because I've always kept with that belief of, this is what you chose. This is what you set out. This is the path that you wanted for yourself, and you got it. And you have to be grateful for that. Sometimes it was hard. It's hard to be grateful at times. And that is a very honest statement. Like, I could be on a job and something small could happen and I moan away about it. And then I think, do you know what? There's so many other people that would want to be in this situation. So check yourself, look in the mirror, calm down and get over it. But yeah, just ride out anything that's coming. Just ride it out, because something better will always come along in your career, even in life. If things are happening and everything, like, it feels like the worst point, because we're all like, take it from somebody who's a bit older. I'm not even that old, but like, there's going to be things that are going to happen in life during this period while you're trying to live your best self and get these amazing jobs and do this show and brand yourself. Life is going to happen as well. So you have to be prepared for that and know that, like, when things are completely rubbish, they will always get better, always. So yeah, ride it out.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been amazing.
You are welcome. I hope I haven't waffled too much.